Yeah, I put on my makeup to go pick up my groceries last week.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with our friend Claire Alexander. She is living out in Portland, Oregon, and is right in the middle of the wildfires going on right now. We talk to her about all of that.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hi there.
And this week, our guest is our favorite ASL interpreter, Claire Alexander.
It's me. Yay.
I realized I was doing ASL cheering because that's what I usually do when they say your name, and then that's bad radio. So
no one.
Yeah. With the hands.
Yeah, so there's maybe a small degree of irony of having our favorite ASL interpreter on for our mostly audio podcast, but who cares?
Living it up by not wearing a black shirt for once.
There you go. Expand the wardrobe a bit. So, Claire, you're our friend. You're a Minnesota expatriate. You moved from here off to the West Coast to Portland, Oregon, just in the past four years ago now.
Four years.
Oh my God.
Feels but I come like back was... a lot normally. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, normally. We're not living in extra strange times. So you're in Portland, Oregon, and you've been there for the last few very eventful months.
Yeah. Been here through all of it. Right in the middle of all of it. Yep.
You're like the entire coast is on fire right now.
Yeah. Yes, it is. That whole thing.
That's kind of what we wanted to talk about. There's a lot to talk about with Portland right now. Obviously at this very moment, your state is on fire.
How often can you even leave your house?
I'm not. For people that don't know, I'm also pregnant, so I'm considered medically high risk. I am now in my third trimester of pregnancy, which mechanically means that I have less lung capacity because it's taken up space.
Yeah, the baby's pushing on it.
The baby is playing selfish hockey, and I have the 1.5-car garage, 2-car problem right now. So I was... I like to tell people I was on house arrest and now I'm living in a biodome because we have now sealed up the windows and the doors. I was actually listening to the radio this morning and they said, Portland, like we're number one. We are officially the city with the worst air quality in the world right now.
In the world.
Wow.
I know. We beat out some heavy hitters. Yeah. I know.
Wow.
There is a webpage that we use for kind of checking air quality control, and it goes up to 500, and a lot of places around here are at 500. Now, don't be concerned for me personally. Portland as a city kind of, you know, has different quadrants. I live on the west side, and the west side is probably the least impacted. I don't think, knock on wood, we are in any risk for our house getting too close to fires. Mm-hmm. So really the only concerns we have are air quality, and our particular house is a newer construction, so we can get it very sealed up. So windows are closed, doors are closed. We don't have air intakes on. We're good burners, so we've got particulate masks that are garbage for COVID, but fantastic for smoke and fire and particulates. So we wear those if we have to go outside or just to get into the car to go pick up our groceries. But we're staying locked in. We're not going anywhere.
For those that are unfamiliar with the term burners, that's Burning Man...
Enthusiasts.
Yes.
I'm curious. So you kind of answered it a little bit offside here, but so you obviously this sort of happened without being able to know it was coming. Unlike, you know, we all know that there's going to be another wave and peak of COVID. So we should be like laying in supplies. But with these fires, they happen very all of a sudden. Are you able to get groceries? You guys had some idea they were coming or?
Right. So we have a fire season on the West Coast, similar to in the Midwest. You might have hurricane prep season.
And tornado, yeah.
Yeah, tornado. Sorry, tornado. I grew up there. I still get the words wrong.
How soon they forget.
But we have been having an indication that this would be a very bad fire season, partially because of climate change, partially because of increasing weather systems, partially because it's kind of cyclical. Mm-hmm. And then what really kind of dictates kind of the gnarliness is a lot of it is the wind direction. And we've just got gross, gross wind directions that are optimal for lighting things on fire. California has been going for a couple weeks. So the whole rest mm-hmm. of the coast has just been holding our breath and waiting for it to hit. And then it hit Seattle, Washington, and end of Labor Day weekend, it actually hit in Oregon, which was, thank goodness it really started to hit on Monday, because there was a lot of people that were trying to camp that weekend, and there would have been a lot more evacuations had it not hit, primarily once people were mostly done. I mean, yeah, good about it, but yeah.
When I was in Montana, when we were in Yellowstone, the skies were cloudy. It was hazy from the California wildfires. So
yeah,
that was what, about 3 weeks ago that I was there.
Yeah, it's Mordor. All around here. Yeah. I have daytime pictures of the sun.
Are you able to get out and like you said, you can put on your good particulate filtering masks and go, you know, to the grocery store as needed. But I mean, there's that whole ethical balance of like curbside pickup, or I guess delivery, right? Having someone else go out in it versus going out yourself. How are you struggling with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just this like shit layer of COVID protocols and kind of the reality of protest protocols,
yeah,
and safety protocols, and now also fire safety protocols. So sometimes what is the safest for COVID is not the safest for fire. I was high risk for COVID exposure, and now I'm also high risk because I have mild asthma and I'm pregnant. So we have been doing a combination of CSA delivery to our house. Mm-hmm. We can order groceries and they are kind of run to our car. Both mm-hmm. of those activities have a minimum of people having to be outside and being exposed.
Exactly. Yeah. That seems right? like it's the lowest risk. Yeah.
Yeah. People that are more comfortable with our COVID case numbers are not bad in Oregon. We locked down pretty well pretty early because we were mm-hmm. so close to Seattle and they were such an early hot city. Mm-hmm. I think the politics of Portland are very similar to Minnesota in that we have a fairly liberal governor who is fighting some level of kind of decency in the politicians in the city proper, and then a whole lot of clowns that don't believe in masks and really want to fight
in rural
yeah.
Oregon,
in rural yeah. areas. Yeah, it's kind of like the blue and the sea of red. So yeah, Kate Brown got. Go ahead.
That's where you're the Proud Boys and the people storming government buildings with guns and all that are yeah. all the rural folks.
There, I mean, there's some are in the city now too, but like sure. the Proud Boys, the Malheur occupation,
yeah.
the senators that will just not show up and literally hide out on bunkers instead mm-hmm. of going to houses where they don't have a majority and they would have to pass things they don't believe in, mm-hmm. like all that garbage. So Kate Brown got some pretty good protocols in place early on, and we don't have a very bad caseload. So some people feeling comfortable have gone to stores. We have here and there made the decision to go to a store to get something if we needed mm-hmm. it. But for the most part, especially once the air quality went poor, we're doing delivery and pickup. And if you've got a good particulate mask, which a lot of people do these days, because mm-hmm. that's also what you use for tear gas and, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Then you are well prepared to filter things that are particulates, not necessarily COVID, but particulates. So I see a lot of delivery people right now with the masks, and that's still one person going out contactless delivery as opposed to mm-hmm. everybody driving someplace and walking around in a grocery store. So
absolutely. It's definitely, it's better for some exposure, but maybe not for smoke exposure. It's
yeah.
Yeah. That's the trick.
So Portland, in addition to the fires that you're now kind of it's kind of like sandwiched. And I mean, I've read some stuff about whether or not Portland is really at risk of fires getting into the city or not. Where's your kind of perspective on that?
So a lot of the state is on fire. That mm-hmm. is not an exaggeration. This is unprecedented. This is just a heinous amount of places that are on fire. And especially if you look at California, just these heartbreaking stories of, you know, old growth forests that are just gone. Mm-hmm. it's astronomical how many people are unhoused and displaced and currently mm-hmm. evacuated. We have three levels of evacuation. And at one, you should be ready. At two, you're waiting for the call. And a lot of people just go at two. And at three, you got to get out. So again, I'm on the western side. The eastern side of Portland, the edge of it was all on level two. And a lot of people that are, you know, high risk for breathing or have breathing challenges already left. Our state capital, Salem, is an hour south. So in Minnesota terms, that would be like Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Salem's air quality has been in the 400s. Everything around Salem to the south, to the east has been on fire. Is awful. There's lots of different fires, so they keep watching those leading edges. Clearly holding the line to not let the fires get to Portland proper is a priority. But to the east, the eastern suburbs are no joke. Like, most of my friends that lived as far on the east side as I live on the west side had cars packed, were ready to leave, have already evacuated. They're not messing around with that, because you don't want... We haven't updated our infrastructure for roads in forever. Like, we're a city that exploded and they haven't caught up on the highways. So you don't want to be in that traffic jam when it goes to phase three. So,
right.
Oh my gosh.
Plus you're dealing with the air quality issues, plus idling cars like on a highway without any sort of trees or anything to block it. Like, that just sounds like... dangerous on top of everything else.
The idling cars is a drop in the bucket. There's no visibility because of how much just kind of soot and ash. I mean, it's Mordor. It looks like Mordor. It's
how far?
Sky.
Like, I mean, I think we've all seen the really dramatic orange and red sky pictures mm-hmm. and the comparisons to like Blade Runner 2049, where even like the exact Pantone color sample matches.
That's it. Yeah, well, how that was far, it Monday and Tuesday.
What's your visibility like? How far can you actually see when it's at its worst?
So I have friends who live on the east side, and they've got, you know, really cute views of various mountains. We have five mountains on a clear day that are from view from downtown Portland.
Oh, wow.
I can't see any of them right now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm on the west side. So I would also say, too, it's gotten visibility has improved in the last couple days, partially because the sun has come out enough to also clear up the fog. We get lots of fog in the morning. When the sun isn't there to bake it up, it stays. But we are definitely observing some cooling off of the temperatures, the smog and the clouds were holding in the heat. Mm-hmm. That's not as much anymore. We were supposed to get rain today. We did not, unfortunately, but the winds are starting to shift, and that is kind of letting, but now we're concerned about once it rains, it's all going to be, it's not acid rain, because it's lye, but like basically basic mm-hmm. rain.
Poisonous rain to some
poisonous
degree.
Poisonous rain, either way.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of a forecast that is relieving? Like, is there anything on the horizon where you're like, oh, we only need to make it to October and then the weather patterns will have been changed and things will be safer?
The biggest things right now are rain would do a lot to just dampen things and make them less,
rain does that.
Burning. It makes it harder for them to burn.
Rain is good at dampening.
Yeah. And again, because everything happens at the same time, the biggest challenges right now are housing people. There's so many people that are displaced, and because of COVID protocols, you can't pack them into a shelter density. So you have to house people in kind of spread out, safer ways. And it's not like there's a ton of housing in Portland right now, because we have such a massive homelessness problem, and we have such a weird gentrification problem, and we have such a, you know, real estate is so competitive. It's not like there's all these places standing wide open.
Mm-hmm.
When does
fire season end? Like, when is that? Like, what's the, like, for us, you know, it's tornado season is pretty much over, right? Like, it's very rare to get a tornado once you get to September. So pretty much, you know, you're going to worry about it from June until September. What's fire season?
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, once it gets cold and once the winds shift, if you look at, kind of satellite weather, it's just kind of circling and staying in place right now. So we're not getting relief.
So what's the percentage of trees in your state that explode?
I don't know, but a lot of them are going right now.
So Tim, you should explain that for people that may not have caught the
reference. It was just today that Donald Trump, or was it yesterday? I don't know. It was just in the last 2 days that Donald Trump explained that the big problem with these wildfires is exploding trees. Which, from what I understand, is not actually a thing.
Trees... what about the dynamite trees? They must be exploding, right? Well,
that's how Nobel created dynamite, is by using the dynamite.
And he knows because he's nominated for a Nobel Prize.
Oh, he is.
Again.
Yes.
The other myth or just outright political lie that's happening right now is that these fires are political in nature. They're being started by anti-fascists and BLM.
Not anti-fascists, Antifa.
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 The organization known as Antifa.
I'm going to make my nibblings call me Antifa.
Oh.
There is a gender neutral drag queen in town that goes by Annie Tifa.
Annie Tifa. Yeah.
They are fantastic. Yeah.
That sounds great.
I mean, obviously this is untrue, but is there anyone you've talked to or anyone you've seen locally that's like buying into that in the slightest?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You know, I was asked to prep for this show, what was my favorite conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
And this is it right now, right?
You're living it.
It's so fascinating for so many reasons. I mean, if awfulness is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. That's why you can't look away from a car crash.
One of the consequences of people completely, utterly believing that Antifa are lighting these fires is that these same white supremacists, white nationalists, bored Proud Boys and their shit ilk are trying to figure out what they can do to help the fire efforts. So they are setting up militia and checkpoints on roads, trying to stop and search anyone that they think looks like Antifa or looks like a BLM. That's what they say. I'm looking for a BLM. I have friends who have been stopped. This is not like hearsay.
Well, I bet they have.
I know
let me
people
guess.
That have
do
been
they
stopped.
Have, do they have brightly colored hair or darker skin or maybe like
a rainbow
dreads,
flag
or
bumper sticker?
Yeah, some sort of liberal bumper sticker. I've
or
seen
God forbid riot gear, otherwise known as the shit you have to wear when you're living in fire season / tear gas season.
Right. Yeah. I've seen Proud Boys on Reddit talking about a big game and on Twitter too, talking a big game about how you can automatically tell if somebody is a part of Antifa or BLM because if it's a woman with brightly colored hair, that's how you know that one, she's not going to fuck you, so you shouldn't waste your time, but two, you should make sure to like shout her down because she's probably part of the agenda, and it's great.
My favorite part of that whole thing is that they say it's it'll get compared to how. Well, you know how like bees and like poisonous tree frogs and stuff, they have those bright colors to alert you to danger. And the point they're missing there is those bright colors are to scare off predators.
So, so it's working.
If the bright colors make you want to stay away from them because you're a Proud Boy, then I'd say that's just fucking working because you're a predator.
Yeah.
So here's the fascinating thing. There has been some really interesting political discussions about the idea that we are having unprecedented participation in BLM protests because people are available with their unemployment, kind of being in quarantine. Like people have the time and energy and they're stir crazy and they want to be engaged more than they would otherwise if they were too busy.
Sure.
It's a way they can feel like they're affecting things as
and
well.
And if there was anywhere else to go, maybe some people might go somewhere else.
It's a time where we're all feeling kind of helpless.
Right. So I've been hearing that rhetoric. This is the flip of it, right? You've got all of these white nationalists and people, I mean, and Oregon has such a tradition of white people feeling entitled to this land specifically. That's a whole other topic. But many of them are now displaced. Many of them are because they live in rural parts, which are the parts that are on fire, or they're scared, or they are evacuated and now they're just sitting on their hands feeling helpless, wanting something to do. So this is like the inverse, right? They are now looking for something that they can put their time and energy into and make a difference. So by God, they're going to stop the BLM and the Antifa. But here's the punchline. All of these little rural police departments and sheriff offices, which have been like secretly loving all of the Blue Lives Matter thin blue line shit that has been pouring their way because people in the rural areas watch what's happening in Portland, buy the bullshit, and then just want to like show some real solidarity for their boys in blue. Those same police stations and offices are now getting swamped by the bullshit that these militia are doing, to the point that all of these small, like suburb, like these like kind of rural militias are being told by their local sheriffs and police departments, like, guys, it's not a thing. Please,
like, go home.
Please stop. They've been kind of like, oh yeah, those Antifa are a problem for months now. And now they're like, we're going to catch the Antifa. They're lighting fires in our backyard. And they're like, no.
No,
like,
it was lightning. It was lightning. Jesus fucking like, Christ.
Yeah. Put your guns away. Because the last thing you want to do if you are trying to account for everyone, it's like to leave where you are. We want you to go somewhere else that is safe and then stay there. And if we're safe, fucking stay where you are and not move around. And what these self-appointed militia are doing is they're doing like they're driving around like clowns, like not staying home, which is exactly what they need to do. So it's kind of funny to watch these police officers have to kind of like walk back like, their own bullshit. Yeah. Like, could you just
oh my God,
we have exaggerated a little bit.
I'm picturing a bunch of fucking already. Proud Boys like shooting at fires. Like I said, stop.
Didn't this all, I mean, part of it started with the fact that, you know, a lot of the places that are on fire are managed by the Bureau of Land Management, which is abbreviated BLM.
Yes.
And they're stupid.
A lot of the confusion. They saw BLM responding to the scene. Not our forest.
Oh my God.
It's like
accurate. Yeah.
We gotta protect the birch trees.
It's that whole like, you know, if your only tool's a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. Like if these assholes are so convinced that the only way they can help their state or their country or their people or whatever is with a gun, it's like the problem right now is a fire.
Yeah.
And all their brain is thinking on is like, how do we fix a fire with a gun? What can we do?
And there's somebody standing next to him with a shovel and like,
my God.
You could like organize a food drive or help drive people to get them evacuated. Or I'm sure there's volunteer firework that could be done.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, Their problem solving stops at the end of their barrel.
Which is
precisely, need to go drag people out of their cars.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what the good guys are doing right now. They're like, all of this is important, but we believe in other things too. And like, what are the Antifa doing right now? Like, they're doing food drives. They're distributing supplies. Like, people that are anti-fascist and are pro BLM and, you know, racial equity. Like, they're just like, let's just help everybody right now. Like, we're in a crisis. We're in a state of emergency. Let's make sure people don't die and have places to stay.
Yeah.
It's the
radical.
It's the whole thing that, like, you know, what does a Nazi want? Well, they want genocide and control. You know, what does someone that's anti-fascist want? To stay at home and watch TV and like maybe like smoke some weed and eat a pizza or something.
And like not get dragged out of my bed at night by Nazis.
What they want is just not Nazis. And if there's no Nazis around, they're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
There's no next step after the no Nazis for somebody.
Yeah, if there's no fascists, there's no Antifa. You don't like Antifa, get rid of the fascists and it'll go away.
Like, it's amazing.
And here's a real kick in the pants too. What I'm hearing my community talk about already is how do we make sure in a vote by mail state, everyone who was displaced can still make sure that they get their votes done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? You know who's displaced by these fires in the countryside? Primarily conservatives. I mean, there's exceptions to that, but like my community is saying, how do we make sure that everyone still gets to vote? Because we've only got a couple of months to like get this shit together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be primarily the liberal agenda that has insisted that people that don't have homes or people that are transient or people that are displaced still have good, robust systems that will make sure that they can vote. And that is precisely what's going to help the rural displaced Oregonians make sure they can still vote.
So we mentioned...
You're welcome.
We mentioned Burning Man people, and like, by and large, Burning Man people are white and affluent to some degree.
Yes.
How I know you're a big part of that community. Uh-huh. Like, how have you seen that community responding, and has it been a favorable, like, are you proud of it, or are you not surprised but disappointed? Like, how has that been playing out?
Oh, that's a great question. I have been to the Burn 12 times. Mm-hmm. This would have been my 13th, my bar mitzvah, as it were.
Aww.
But so I know, Tim, you're just gagging. I already would have taken this year off because I wasn't going to do those extreme climate conditions pregnant. So I had already made my peace with canceling the event, but then the event got canceled for everybody. I mostly saw a lot of integrity and a lot of people agreeing that that was the right decision. I have, by comparison, seen other communities, Sturgis, try to have their events anyway to great public safety and detriment. And a lot of the Burning Man community, by and large, overwhelmingly, was like, this sucks. We're going to miss it, but it's the right thing to do.
A lot of them are in Portland. Is there any kind of organization happening to try to help people? I know that that's a big part of the Burning Man, I guess, charter, as it were, is like taking care of each other.
Community.
Yeah. Building community, taking care of each other, kind of a no person left behind in the desert situation, right?
Fuck money. Let's just.
Yeah.
I mean, on the good side of it, there's the, that's the altruistic ideal.
Of course.
The problematic sides. But when I'm feeling optimistic and I believe in this thing, which for the most part I do.
Yeah.
Yes. Burning Man has always had a relationship with the land where the event takes place, which is why BLM is an acronym that burners know very well, because we work with the Bureau of Land Management every year. Hmm. We get a conditional land grant to work there, conditional upon us not fucking the land up, because then they won't give it to us next year. So every year we do a comprehensive plan to make sure that we are literally throwing a leave no trace event for 60,000 people.
That's amazing.
And so like all the burners are like, we've watched BLM go from meaning one thing to meaning Black Lives Matter to this weird intersection where they mean both at the same time now, because Antifa and the fire starters. And so Burning Man has always had kind of their outreach programs, and we are watching the org as a whole just try to survive right now.
Because I imagine,
canceling an event is a lot of money to lose, and there's talk about how we will recover from that. And that's a conversation I am not as invested in, because I just believe they will find a way, and that's not my expertise. Mm-hmm. But there are charter groups like, or not charter, but like attached groups like Burners Without Borders. Hmm. And they do lots of relief work, and they're doing lots of support. And I'm hearing great things about them. That said, my focus has been not on how burners are helping with these events. There's already like direct Portland relief groups that I'm focusing my efforts on. But I'm seeing a lot of Burning Man community, and especially Burning Man leadership, trying to make sure that people are taking care of each other. Like, that taps more into kind of COVID long-term, long-haul support. Yeah. People are so isolated and so lonely. Burning Man, through this amazing virtual experience this year, Burning Man has always had psychologically a pretty big drop-off for people. Like, you go to a giant, amazing, wonderful party, and then you come home and there's kind of that crash. And that's
worse
for the people that work the event, because there's people that are out there upwards of 3 months. Like, if you're start to finish crew, you're there for 3 months, and the drop off is drastic. So there's lots of mental health services. There's lots of support. Many people would make the argument there should be more, but I'm watching a lot of our rangers, a lot of our communities, like, we've got Discord channels, we've got Slack channels, we're sending each other swag as though the event still happened this year. We're checking in on each other. And it's an international community. So a lot of the international people are like, hey, Americans.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, shit.
What's your safe word?
Vote. That's our safe word. It's vote.
Vote.
I'm sure, none of us envy the situation out there, and it's certainly a lot of things all happening at once, and a sort of confluence. And we hope that there's degrees of relief on all those fronts as, you know, we maybe get our shit together with COVID. It could happen. And with the election looming, that could turn out good for all we know, you guys. Come on. And the season changing, like, maybe with the progression of the year, you know, you have something to look forward to.
I hope shit stops burning soon.
Yeah, right?
I have been, for the most part, very optimistic through a lot of this. Like, for me personally, it has been such an interesting journey because I am loving and caring and deeply emotionally invested in Minneapolis and now also Portland. And I picked two big cities to love.
Claire, I think we found the common denominator here. What's going on, Claire?
It me. There has been a joke because I have been pregnant since March. And I found out that my dog was going to start being terminal in March. She had a kind of long-term chronic health issues, but she surpassed what her medication could do in March. And so we were going to start to watch her decline. And COVID really started to hit late February, early March. So I have just been on this extremely surreal ride this whole time. And, you know, I couldn't tell you what a pandemic is like outside of the framework of my first pregnancy. Mm. And this pregnancy is such joy. And losing a beloved pet is so sad, but it is also like a beautiful thing to be emotionally present for.
It's the natural way of things. That's what you signed up for when you got her. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it was, you know, the whole wraparound thing, and it was just completely worth it. And I don't know how to frame caring about the political upheaval or the place politically that America finds itself in today outside of the context of those two things, you know, like having this kind of holistic approach to everything is kind of how I process it. So I keep seeing a lot of the good and stuff like it. And it's just a head fuck because, like, on the one hand, I don't really love that there's a global pandemic or we fucked the dog on how we responded to it. But in no other circumstance would I have ever been able to stay home and, you know, maybe get a pittance of unemployment, because unemployment, you're not eligible for it just because you're puking 16 hours a day.
Right.
And yet, because I was medically vulnerable, weirdly that worked out for me. That was kind of a hat trick.
It's kind of amazing how some of these things have been shaking out. Yeah.
And you know, like, I would not have had so much time to kind of do some of the online support stuff I am doing for protests and doing information sharing and interpreting online content so that there's
like
access.
Our show.
Yay.
Like
press releases on COVID that aren't being interpreted.
That's
or
awesome.
Like fire safety announcements. Like, I wouldn't be able
so
to do those
good.
Things if I wasn't stuck at home because I'm medically vulnerable.
Silver linings.
Yeah. And there are some really good things coming out of Portland, not Ted Wheeler, because fuck that guy. He's garbage. After 100 days of daily protests, he was like, you know, we did some research on the effects of tear gas, and it turns out it's bad for people. So maybe we've decided to we've strongly told our police bureau not to do it. And I'm like, couldn't you have maybe A, looked at all the research that already exists, or B, done this fucking research before
it gets against
you authorized
the Geneva
tens
Convention.
Of thousands of dollars of that exact item to be purchased specifically to be used
Jesus
on your
Christ.
Fucking Fuck. Citizens?
Yeah.
But we have amazing leadership. We have passed some really aggressive anti-vacation housing laws. Those are fantastic. Those are some of the best ones in the country right now. We're going to see some great stuff coming out of that. We just this week passed the most rigorous facial scan identification ban.
Yeah,
I saw some stuff about that. Yeah,
really
that's
leading
huge.
On that. Like that's a setting a standard worldwide, even. Really,
yes.
Very, very ahead of anyone else in the world in terms of personal privacy for facial recognition. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive stuff.
Yes. And we keep watching these cities that are fighting for things that matter, piggybacking off each other, because you get precedent. Like Portland built for their housing laws. They built off of the successes of Minneapolis and a couple other places. They're like, oh, did you get that shit passed? We're going to take that shit and we're going to add a little bit of more of our shit on top of it. And then we're going to pass
right?
that and the ball's back to you. Like it's a positive feedback loop. It's great. Yeah.
Hopefully we get more of that in the future. Claire, Before we say goodbye, it is time for five questions.
Five questions.
Yeah. All right. Tim, you want to start us off with question number one?
Sure. You've already answered this one, but what conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
Antifa are lighting all the fires on the West Coast. And I will add, as a bonus, I can't wait for them to spin how Antifa are also causing all of the tropical storms and hurricanes we're having.
Oh, sure. I'm sure they are.
Have they not been adequately handling the underbrush of
the
ocean?
They're just out in the ocean driving their boats around in circles really fast.
I was going to say, I've been spinning with my arms out and going, fuck Nazis! And like, so I'm sure that's part of it.
You know, it's not Antifa because that's ridiculous, you guys. It's clearly witchcraft and devil worship that's causing that hurricane.
It's not Antifa, it's profane.
All right, Molly.
Question two. What is your perfect two-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics remains a limiting factor.
I would either say the vacation we had that we'd been planning for 2 years that got canceled because of COVID. Or right now, I think I would get like all of those like biohazard suits so that we are all like self-contained breathing apparatuses. And I would just go back to fucking Minnesota and give one to all of my friends. And then we could just like all hang out and give each other hugs.
We could like, hug.
We could just fucking hang out. Like we could have
miss hugs.
Events with people and hugs and like poking each other and shit. Like,
yeah. I miss ass slapping. I want to slap asses again.
Sorry, what was the vacation you had to cancel? Just
My husband gets a sabbatical every 5 to 7 years. So we planned a giant hoorah before the baby shows up. We were going to go to Greece. We were going to do a 2 week cruise. We were going to hike around to Italy afterwards. There was talk of maybe squeezing Iceland in there somewhere. It's fine. Who wants to do all of those things?
Boring. Well, you'll have plenty of time to do all that after the baby's born.
It's a portable baby for a good while. It's portable baby for a long while.
We're going to clicker train. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
Like, we'll get there right away.
Good crate. You get yourself a good crate trained baby, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, my dog's dead. We've got all of the stuff ready and available.
You want a small crate to start so she can't turn around too much on her own.
All right. I know. Question number three. What's a movie or a book that changed your life and how or why?
You know, the whole just concept of reading sci-fi as a kid changed my life and my world outlook, but I'm going to be a giant self-help nerd and say Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection. I think as a nerd, I'm a very top-down, just cranial person, and finding books that really helped me kind of get in touch with somatically feeling my emotions was a game changer for me because I had anxiety and I overthought things and I had racing things in my brain, and just finding ways to calm that are really useful this year, as it turns out. And
the art of imperfection.
Yeah. The gifts of imperfection.
The gifts of imperfection.
Oh, look.
Excellent.
For those of you who are watching the video, she just held up the book.
Otherwise, you can just look at The Gifts of Imperfection.
Yeah,
and you'll find
And she is, again, I think she in her personal life is Christian, but I have not found any of her stuff to be preachy or always referring back to religion. Like, she talks about like being okay with yourself in your process and your struggle. And she is a very compelling speaker. If you want to like get a taste of her, she's got some great TED Talks out there. They're hilarious. She's very engaging. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Nick, question three. Sorry.
That was question three.
Oh, you're right. That was.
Molly, why don't you do question four?
Okay.
And Tim can do five.
Great. What's the geekiest thing you have ever done?
I say a lot of geeky things.
That's
kind of,
I know you, Claire. I figure you've,
I think probably the nerdiest thing to date is the fact that, and this was also useful, but I made sure that my wedding happened immediately after Convergence because it is such a epicenter of all of my favorite people from around the country coming together anyway. It's just efficient. But yeah, I definitely planned my schedule of my wedding around when Convergence was occurring.
I have one of the badge ribbons you were giving away to celebrate your wedding.
Yeah.
She had special badge ribbons made for Convergence, and I still have one, and it was awesome.
I do. It was some sort of Letterkenny reference, wasn't it?
Hard yes. On a rainbow banner. Yeah, it was great.
Yep. That's pretty nerdy.
Question number five. I don't know why I get to ask this one, but what's your favorite? I know. What's your favorite hangover cure?
Fuck. Fuck, I just miss drinking right now. Like,
yeah, right.
This was a shit time to have mandated sobriety.
I can't even imagine.
But I will harken back to all of my OmegaCon days, and I will say, just having nothing to do the next day and being able to sleep and drink a lot of water is my favorite hangout cure. Just
you need the time. You need the time. Yeah.
There's no secret trick. You just got to put the time in, and if I can run the clock by sleeping through it.
There's like one secret trick. It's cocaine. but other than that, everything else, you're right. Time. Yeah.
Drink the water. Get the calories in. Go back the fuck to sleep.
Don't listen to Molly and go back to sleep. That's right. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be our guest and kind of fill us in on the situation in Portland, Claire. Do you have anything you want to plug or anything coming up that you want to mention?
I mean, vote.
Vote.
Fuck me, go
Claire
vote.
Claire would like to plug democracy.
yeah, I want to plug democracy.
Please vote. We're lucky that, you know, both Claire and us, we're living in states where it's very easy to vote, and the state has gone out of its way to make that, you know, the case for as many people as possible. If you are not in a state that's like that, you probably have some work ahead of you that you need to do in advance. So start figuring out how you're going to vote, like, today.
Yeah.
Like, do it now so that it's not like a week before the election and you're like, oh, fuck, wait, I needed to do all this shit? Oh, damn. Like, start doing it now because it's all going to take you longer because everything's all fucked up right now. And we can
fix
gonna that.
They're going to try and Hitchhiker's Guide you. You know, they're going to. We had it on display.
That's right.
For the entire period. If you didn't check it out, that's not our problem. We're demolishing.
You can go to USA.gov.
Yeah.
And they've got all kinds of stuff about who can vote in your state, absentee and early voting. Like that. That's probably at least a good place to start. USA.gov. Yeah.
And if you're already planning to vote, then encourage your friends. Otherwise... Yeah. We've been Geeks Without God. If you are one of our Patreon supporters, you got to hear this episode early. You may have even gotten to see a video of this episode if that's jam. It might be nice to see some faces right now.
You know, talking about Patreon, we have a new Patreon, someone who edited their pledge.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Ryan Gerber. Thanks, Ryan. Is now at the $5 level.
That's
so
right.
They decided to give us a little extra money, and we thank them very much.
That's nice. Great.
And if you throw us a couple more bucks, we throw stickers and stuff at you too. We try to make it worth your while. We're going to be redesigning our website soon with some of that support that people have given us. Otherwise, we'll have another episode up next Tuesday. As always, since the get-go, haven't missed one yet. Find us on all the places you find podcasts. I submitted to get us put on iHeartRadio today. We'll see if that happens.
Wow.
Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God, and keep it real.
Bye.
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 We didn't start the fire, but climate change helped it, and now we're all fucked, yeah.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Oh my God, that was so real.